This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ideas Malaysia has revealed in its first GLC monitor study that the Prime Minister's grip on GLCs remains strong despite the reform pledges that have been made.
So some of these ministries named are Ministry of Economic Affairs, Ministry of Rural Development, Ministry of Entrepreneur Development, as well as the very own MOF, Ministry of Finance.
Now, of those four ministries, Rural Development and Entrepreneur Development are headed by Bersatu ministers, namely Datuk Sri Rina Harun and Datuk Sri Rizwan Yusof, while the Economic Affairs is under Datuk Sri Azmin Ali, who is seen as a close Mahathir ally.
So Azmin, though, has since denied the report, and he said that Tun Mahathir does not have an iron grip on GLCs and delegates and delegates power to ministers. Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng also unsurprisingly chimed in to assure that the public that GLCs are being headed by corporate professionals and not political appointees.
I think what Ideas is very worried about here, and Terence Gomez, of course, is the senior fellow there in Ideas. He has written extensively about the GLCs and the roles of GLCs in the past. They are concerned about that role of the Prime Minister holding two portfolios, the Prime Ministership, of course, and the MOF. And right now, the question is whether this is a backdoor MOF portfolio for the Prime Ministers, because these departments that were previously under the MOF, like Khazanah, PNB, and others, right, a few others were previously under the MOF. Now that it's moved to the Prime Minister's department, is the Prime Minister then a de facto finance minister?
So in other words, very little has changed when you look at it in greater detail, right? Because you're saying that all the big GLCs or GLICs are still under the Prime Minister's purview after GE14. So the likes of your Khazanah, PNB and Yayasan Pelaburan Bumiputra, I mean, those still remain under Tun M's watch.
And if you also remember in the SPV 2030 or the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, Economic Affairs, Entrepreneur Development and Rural Development are the portfolios that were heavily identified, because the SPV 2030 is very Bumiputra focused. And with more GLC control under these three ministries, one can expect that the Bersatu or as alleged Mahathir allied ministers to wield more power over the implementation of the plan. Now, the reported GLCs are controlled by Bersatu ministers instead of the PM himself. So I guess it does come back to whether or not this de facto control, as ideas lays out, would be any better than outright control.
Also, politicians not holding GLC positions was one of the election manifestos, I think, because you don't want to mix up that revolving door. If you're a member of the government or if you're a member of a political party, having patronage from whoever is in charge of the party and giving you that position, it's not a very good relationship and may result in corruption as well as non-fulfillment of a lot of the government's policies.
And of the ministries, actually, the Ministry of Rural Development has seen a number of political appointees onto the companies under its control, many of them being from Bersatu, and it is somewhat seen as a compensation for the appointees' defeat in GE14. So a number of names: Zulkifli Muhammad, Marzuki Wan Sembok, Zulkifli Ali. Zulkifli Ali is from Amanah, but Zulkifli Muhammad and Marzuki Wan Sembok are both from Bersatu, and they were both appointed to Ketengah. We've also had a number of Bersatu appointments to Kesedar, Kejora, as well as Kedah, which are all rural development boards.
Now, this was actually one of the first things that was announced at the first Invest Malaysia after Pakatan Harapan came into power, where they said that they wouldn't be appointing any political, allies to corporate positions or to any positions like these, Kejora and all that. But it seems to be a bit of a policy flip-flopping right at this juncture. Mm-hmm. It seems that patronage still continues to today.
And, you know, we have also seen Mahathir-connected businessmen who seemed to be looking to benefit also from some of the government divestments that are currently underway. Because we've had Syed Mukhtar, Tan Sri Syed Mukhtar's share takeover of Media Prima. We've also had the potential sale of Plus to Tan Sri Halim Saad. So the question there is whether or not this risks the creation of new oligarchs in this new Malaysia.
Absolutely, absolutely. And incidentally, there was a PNB Corporate Summit yesterday, which was attended by Stephen Hager, who is the Credit Suisse Malaysia Managing Director. And he basically said it to their faces, right, that the total returns of non-GLCs are about five times greater than GLCs over a 10-year period. And I'm just wondering, what is PNB's reaction there? Because PNB is an owner of a lot of GLCs, many GLCs, including the Axiata, which recently did not go through. Is Axiata under PNB?
No, they're Maybank. Maybank is their largest asset.
I'm sorry, Maybank, yeah. So this is really saying to PNB themselves that you're not doing a good job because the market hasn't assigned you the kind of premium valuation that they have assigned to other market-listed companies.
Well, another government agency, which is Khazanah, their research and investment strategy head, Dato' Hisham Hamdan, did he concede that it's difficult for GLC leaders to balance the interests of the different parties that they have to answer to. So there's always a bit of a pull and push when it comes to any government-linked company or government-linked investment company.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.